Okay, welcome to today's teleseminar. I'm Kathy Marler, Director of Consulting for Member Solutions, and I'm very excited to be presenting on this topic today of successful delegation strategies. I originally titled this teleseminar Successful Delegation Strategies from a Former Control Freak, which would be me, but I thought it might scare off a few listeners that might dislike the freak word. So instead, we're just here to discuss successful delegation strategies, a little more politically correct, I guess. Delegation's an art. There's a right way to do it, and then there's what I call other ways that may not give you the results you're looking for. So what I'd like to do today is to arm you with some suggestions that'll help you, you know, whether you're about to bite the bullet and start delegating for your very first time, or whether you're just looking for a couple tips, you know, to help you improve the results that you're currently experiencing. To get started, why don't we take a look first at some of the reasons that you want to delegate to others and why it's a good thing. The first thing is, you know, obviously it's going to give you more time. You know, just about all of us seem to need or want more time. More time to get organized, more time to get better focused, you know, more time to spend on more important items that would improve our businesses and give better results than we're currently getting. You know, more time to spend with family, you know, and more time to have other pursuits. A lack of delegation, you know, really means that you're going to have to be a really good plate spinner and balancer. When I hear the term plate spinner, you know, I get a visual picture of, you know, the old stage act where you've heard a guy, where you've seen a guy, you know, take a bunch of plates and put them on these flexible sticks. I'm not sure what they're called. I call them flexible sticks. And he starts to spin one, you know, and then he hurries and he runs and he, you know, starts to spin another, you know, and another and another, until he has all of its plates spinning. You know, but rather than focusing on spinning just a few at a time and his most important ones, you know, he is running around like a chicken with his head cut off, making sure that, you know, they're not too wobbly, you know, or worse yet, they're about to break and just fall. How many of those plates that he's spinning are actually spinning to their full ability? You know, obviously, you know, not many. You can't do everything, so that's the whole point is, you know, if you're deciding to spin most of your business plates all by yourself, you're probably going to have to spin a plate that keeps your business clean. You know, spin another that markets your school, another that follows up your hot leads. Oh, don't forget to start spinning another for your attendance calls and your class planning and dealing with challenges. Don't forget that plate. You get the idea. If you can get someone who's qualified to spin your least important plates first, then you're going to be able to focus in on your most important plates. So delegating is a good thing. It's going to help free up more time and help you be able to focus in on what the most important things are without having to run around doing a mediocre job at a lot of things. Another great thing about delegating is you generally learn a lot about communication skills and how to best explain what needs to be done and how it needs to be done and when it needs to be done to others. You know, if you hang in there, you know, you're bound to increase your patience. That's a nice benefit. And your trust level of others. So delegating can help you build your skill set as a leader and as a teacher. As a teacher, we're constantly delegating in our classroom. You know, we're giving students clear directions on what the goal is and why. We show them how to do the techniques. We coach them, you know, and, you know, we don't just, like, leave them to do it on their own right away. We coach them. We give them positive and constructive feedback, and we praise them. So when you delegate, you just follow the same thing. So let me repeat that. You know, as a teacher, usually the first thing you do is you explain what the goal is of the technique and why. You show them how to do it. You guide them and coach them, and you give them positive and constructive feedback, and then you give them some praise along the way. So when you do that, you know, again, it's going to help you improve your communication skills as a leader, which can only enhance what you're doing in business. Another great reason to learn to delegate is that the person that you delegate to, if it's done correctly, they can learn to enhance their responsibility. It makes them feel like they're making valuable contributions. It can help them learn to lead the same way that they've been led. So if they've learned by your example of, you know, how to coach and how to teach someone and how to do something, it's going to help enhance their leadership skills. And it also helps them stay really motivated and exciting when they feel that what they're contributing is truly benefiting, you know, the martial arts school or the program or the business. So in that case, both the delegator and the delegatee can learn valuable lessons about how to how to work with others and how to develop other people. Another really great reason to delegate is to help ensure that your business can run in the event that you're sick for a few days or worse, or maybe you'd like a vacation. How about that? If you're the only one who can do everything, that's dangerous. You know, I mean, if you're sick one day, I've talked to guys before that said, Kathy, you know, this might sound a little gross, but Kathy, I was throwing up with the flu, and somehow I had to drag my buns right into the martial arts school. I had to get there on time. I had to, you know, teach the classes, run to the bathroom in between, come back out, and just, you know, take care of business. And it was the worst experience I've ever had, but I had to do it because I had nobody else. You know, to me, that's a really dangerous thing. So, you know, even if it's something as little as unlocking the school for you and greeting people to buy you time because you're running late one day, you know, even if it's the fact that somebody's there to say, you know what, the instructor is home and sick and bad, and but I'm here for an open workout and I'm going to help coach you guys on the floor, and they're capable of it, that's better than nothing. So, you know, keep that in mind when you think about delegation or the negative side of it. The positive side is, you know what, if you want a vacation, if you need some bench strength, you know, occasionally you may get sick, and it's better if things can run in your absence for a little while. And the last reason is basically, dun-dun-dun, delegation improves the overall efficiency and effectiveness of your business when it's done correctly. Again, you can't do everything really, really well. You know, you should be able to focus in on the things that are key to creating and keeping students and the things that really nobody else can be taught easily to do. So those are the main reasons I can think of, you know, for wanting to be in favor of delegating. Now what I'd like to do is kind of touch base on some reasons that people, and you might be in there somewhere, hesitate to delegate. And this should be good. You know, I think one of the things is that we all have the belief, and sometimes it's true about certain things, that nobody does it better than me. If I want something done right, I've got to do it myself. You know, and of course, if we don't empower people and start working with them and start mentoring them and teaching them, that will be true for a really long time. Another reason I think that people hesitate is that they feel like, I don't have time. I don't have time to teach anybody how to do these things. Well, you know, that's exactly why you do need to delegate. You're going to have to bite the bullet and take the time to show somebody to properly do some things to help you out. It's not easier to do it yourself, but that's another thing I think a lot of us tell ourselves is, you know what, it's just easier if I just do it myself. I'm the only one who knows how to do it. I don't have a lot of time to teach anybody. I'm just going to do it myself. But again, you know, that doesn't solve too many challenges that doing everything yourself can have. Another reason I think I've heard a lot, and I'm not saying I had a problem with this myself or anything, is that, you know, if I delegate, I'm giving up authority and I'm giving up control of my business. And that's not necessarily true. Really, I mean, if you're able to delegate some tasks and empower, you know, other people that work for you, or even if you're delegating some tasks that you're not really good at, that you're outsourcing and you're paying other companies to do, you're not giving up authority and control. You're the one who sets the goal for the tasks and for what gets done. You're the one who has control over how they're getting it done, and it's still your responsibility, really. So you're not really giving up your authority and control, but, ooh, it sure can feel like it. Another reason people don't delegate is they feel, you know what, I just don't have anybody. I don't have anybody I can delegate to. And if you don't have anybody, well, you need to get somebody. It could be as simple as asking a parent. It could be that you need to approach someone who's a student that you know is maybe they're going to college full time and they have some extra time where they could do some very, very basic tasks that you could teach them to do. You know, it may be that you're just going to need to outsource some things. For example, cleaning. You know, there's plenty of cleaning companies that will come in and clean your school a couple days a week so that you can just touch up in between, as one example. So that is one reason I think that sometimes people don't take action on delegating is they feel like they don't have anybody to delegate to. But that's just not the case. You just have to maybe work a little bit to get those people to come to you or find those people. And I think the last major reason is people, this is what I call a misconception, they don't delegate because they think, you know what, I'm going to save the money and the time. I don't have a lot of extra money. I don't have a lot of time. I'm just going to do it myself. You know, I don't think it's likely that they're saving money whatsoever, and here's why. you know, how much is your time worth? I think that's something all of us need to ask ourselves, and I think we can all come up with a price. But here's a couple ways, you know, you might put it in perspective when you do have that dollar amount. If you were to teach a private lesson and charge $60 an hour, you know, you've basically decided your time's worth $60 an hour. And if that's the case, why would you want to do a task that somebody else could do at about a rate of $7 to $12 an hour? You know, like cleaning, collecting leads from lead boxes. Anybody can walk up to a lead box and take pieces of paper out of a lead box and drive back to your school. It doesn't have to be you. Mailing out postcards, that's not real difficult to teach somebody else to do. So if you're spending, you know, half an hour, an hour, 2 hours cleaning, collecting lead box leads, things like that, and you're worth $60 an hour, I think you're losing money. I think it would be a lot smarter investment of your time and energy to pay somebody a little bit of money or work something out with them than do it yourself. Because, you know, if you think of it this way as well, if I free up 2 hours of my time and let's say I teach two private lessons with that amount of time, now I've made $120. Is it worth it if I can make $120 to teach 2 hours of extra private lessons to spend $20 to have somebody else do basic things like cleaning and mail out birthday cards and stuff? Sure, absolutely. Are you willing to spend $20 to make $120? And I hope the answer is yes. You know, another example is that if I use those same 2 hours to follow up the hottest new student leads and got just one student from it who would pay me $1,200 for a year's worth of lessons, is that worth it? You know, we spent $80 or even $100 for someone to do some basic tasks for you to free you up to spend your time, you know, working hot leads to get somebody to join this week that's going to pay you $1,200. Spend $80 or $100 to earn $1,200. Yes. You know, even if you have no money to spend and you're a new school or it's really tight right now for whatever reason, I mean, couldn't you find somebody who would work your lead boxes, for example, you know, that you could teach to go collect the leads, to make some follow-up phone calls following a script you've given them, to set appointments, and if they get them in and they actually enroll in your program, wouldn't you be able to give them $50? Sure, absolutely. Even if you don't have a down payment, you could start a down payment or initial investment with those people. And, hey, for every person you get to join that you've worked, you know, these leads from these lead boxes, they give you $50. Sure, you could absolutely do that. So I guess my point is, you know what, if you get creative, money will not be an excuse. You'll be able to do it. So, okay, so enough said about that. So I just wanted to touch base on some of the benefits of delegating and then also some of the reasons that you might have or somebody else might have for not getting started in the first place and just kind of show you both sides of the coin. I think for me, when I began to share responsibilities, for example, just off the top of my head, with other parents who wanted to help with Halloween party, the first step I made is I made a huge list of all the tasks that I did on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis. And I used the Halloween party as an example because I used to love to do a huge open house for the public Halloween party every year. And it involved a lot of stuff. It probably took me 2 or 3 weeks of nonstop preparation and tasks that I did every day. Did I need to be doing all those? No. So that was something that was very easy for me to relinquish control. But if you want to get started delegating, the first step I would take is I would make a huge list of all the tasks that you do on a daily, on a weekly, and on a monthly basis. Just make a big list, you know, 1, 2, 3. These are all the things that I do. And while you're making that list, you know, you might want to leave some space. I like to leave space on the left-hand side, just a little space because I'm going to prioritize where those tasks fit in. So I'm writing, you know, the big list of all the different things I have to do or I want to do for the school, and I leave a little space, and I just use the basic rating system of 1, 2, 3 because I can remember that. 1 is the most important task that really I am the only one who's going to do that. It's not even necessarily that I'm the only one who could do that. It's the only one who's going to do it. It might be handling money, making bank runs. You know, it might be, you know, making purchases. I might not want anybody else, you know, knowing what kind of balance I have in my bank accounts or trusting them with a lot of, you know, retail merchandise cash or things that might come in. So, you know, that might be a one for me. A two, that's going to be a task that, you know what, if I choose the right person and I take some time to coach, set clear deadlines, and communicate effectively how that needs to be accomplished, I can teach somebody else to do that. I could relinquish control over that, and they could actually handle that to me. So that's what my twos are. And my threes are something that just anybody could do. And I kind of joke, even a monkey can do these things. I mean, they're not difficult. It doesn't take a you to do. And those are the threes. So let me give you a couple of examples of things that might be on your list. And I'll give you how I would personally rate those. Now, keep in mind, you might rate them differently, you know, because you've got different objectives than I might have. But basically, let's say cleaning the bathroom, vacuuming, and emptying the trash. Okay, one of my favorite things. But to me, you know what? That's a three. A teenager can do that. A cleaning company can do that. It does not take a me to clean the bathroom, vacuum, and empty trash. Is it important? Yeah, it needs to be done because my students, you know, wouldn't want to be in the facility that I teach in if the bathroom wasn't clean, if it wasn't vacuumed, and the trash wasn't empty. But that's not something that the head instructor or the owner needs to do. Another item that might be on your list is teaching advanced adult class. That is something that you might put a one on. You know, that's not necessarily something you may be ready to relinquish to other black belts in your school, and it might be a benefit or just a treat, you know, to have you teach the most advanced classes in your school. So that's probably going to get a one by most people. Another task that could be on your list is to make appointment confirmation calls. Important, right? We want our appointments to show up, and sometimes we have to, you know, remind them and jar them a little bit. Is that something necessarily that takes a you to do? Not necessarily. If you teach the right person, I rated it a number two, by the way. If you teach the right person what to say, how to say it, you know, give them guidelines so that they can follow that, that is something you can definitely train the right person to do. So I would give that a two. Another item might be to answer the phone while you're teaching class. That's not something you need to be doing necessarily. If you can get someone else to answer the phone, again, I would give that a two because I wouldn't let just anybody speak telephone. That's very important that someone who touches the phone understands how to, you know, speak to people properly, what your procedure is, what information is given out and what is not, and what the results are of that call. So that's a number two. That's something that you can train the right person to help you out with that. Another item on the list might be collecting leads from 50 boxes each week. And I've kind of mentioned that already in my presentation, but, you know, it doesn't take a you, again, or even a real skilled person to walk into these businesses and pick up the leads out of the boxes and bring them back to the school. It just doesn't. It's pretty easy to delegate that out. And then one other item I'll just share with you might be creating a marketing plan for the next 6 months. That takes probably a you. You could have other people do that, especially if they have a marketing and advertising background that just happens to work with you. But most likely, since it's your marketing budget and your results and you know what you're after, you're probably going to be the one who's going to create that marketing plan. So that would probably rate a one. So, you know, again, just to recap, you know, make a list of all the tasks that you do. Rate them 1, 2, 3, or you can create your own scale, but one might be something that only you can do. Two are the tasks that the right person with the right training could learn to do. And three are the tasks that anybody, just about anybody, could be taught to do very easily. Doesn't take a lot of brain work. Once you've made your list and you've rated your numbers 1, 2, 3, or with whatever system you choose to use, what I would recommend that you do is start delegating out your number threes first. Since they're the lowest priority, they have the least amount of immediate effect on your business in a negative way, that is, if they're not done correctly. If you're a little bit of a control freak like I was, you could probably easily give yourself permission to start letting those things go. You know, so start letting somebody else collect leads. You know, start letting somebody else help with the cleaning. And all of those good things. So I recommend starting with the number threes because that way it's easier if you're not used to delegating to let it go. If the cleaning's not perfect, it's probably not going to make or break you. Okay. Once you have gotten used to delegating out your number threes and you've gotten rid of all your number threes off your list, very simply, you probably already guessed it, just go to your number twos next. You know, there's probably some number twos that you can start delegating. Even if you only get rid of one number two every 1 or 2 weeks, you know, after a couple months, that's going to make a huge difference to the amount of free time that you have to start devoting in other places. So once you get rid of your threes, go to the twos. Take the time to properly choose the right person for the job or get the right person or outsource it to the right person. Clearly communicate exactly what the goals are and what is expected and by when. Help coach them through, maybe even let them watch you do it if appropriate. You know, if it's making phone calls, it's pretty easy, you know, to have them watch you and listen to you, you know, how you speak to people, what information you're recording, and the process. And then have them do it and watch them as well. You know, again, just keep thinking about how you teach people in the classroom. You know, you don't go, okay, kick like this and walk away. You know, explain it, you know, pre-frame it, show them why, what are the goals of it, you know, this is how you do it. Okay, now let me see you try it. Okay, here, do it with me. Okay, yeah, you fix this a little bit now. Great, now you do it. And you know what, I'll be back to check on you. Use the same procedure and you really can't go wrong. Always let them know that the door is open. You don't want to ever micromanage, vulture them, or have an attitude that sounds frustrated or does anything to shut that person down, because you want them to stick with it and to learn. You don't want to have to take the job back, and I don't recommend you ever jump in and take a job back that you've delegated out unless it's really, really imperative that you do. You know, if, again, if you've given step-by-step directions, you might still need to walk them through. And I think that's one of the biggest mistakes some people make sometimes when they are new delegators, is that they don't have enough patience to let that person, you know, try it, or they want to just show them once, walk away, and just think it's done and just turn their back on it. So I think it's really important that even with directions to, you know, take the time to walk the person through, let them shadow you. And avoid the zap method of management, meaning, you know, don't let time go by and then later get shocked when you see there's a lack of results and then scold the person. You know, instead have them report back to you on a regular basis, whether it's a written worksheet, a quick update by phone, an email to you to say, hey, this is how it went tonight, on a regular basis so that you can constantly positively reinforce them, you know, and basically coach them through it. So that'll help you be a more successful delegator. And, you know, think about it this way. How great would it feel even if you just delegated one task a week to somebody else or to another company to outsource it? You know, what if you had 3 to 5 extra hours a week? You know, what would you do with that? You know, would you market more? Would you spend more time with your family? You know, exactly, you know, what could you do with that? You know, that just really can take your business to a new level, you know, if you're willing and ready and able to start delegating and you do it the right way. It just takes like a ton of bricks right off your shoulders. There's some more information. This teleseminar is actually based on a column I write in MA Success Magazine. The October 2007 Marshall Smarts issue was called How to Successfully Delegate. And it's just got some fun tidbits in there on, you know, how to, you know, it'll remind you to make your wish list, not just to choose anybody for the job, choose the right person for the job. You know, at first, if you don't succeed, do not jump in and do it yourself. You definitely need to inspect what you expect, you know, and that pretty much goes without saying. You know, again, you have no right to be shocked if something's not getting done right, because if it's not getting done right, then, you know, you didn't do the greatest job at delegation, or maybe you jumped out of the picture a little bit too soon. So those are some things to keep in mind with successful delegation. What I'd like to do now is I'd like to open it up for questions and answers or insights, or if you have any experience in delegating that went well or maybe even did not go well that you'd like to share with the rest of the people that are listening, we'd love to hear it. So let me go ahead and do that now. Let me open up the floor for questions and answers. Hi, is anybody out there that would like to ask a question on the phone? Okay, well, everyone is unmuted, so if anybody does want to ask a question or share their experience on delegating, you're free to do that at this time. Who's out there? I hear some background noise. Hi there.
Dwayne Brummett.
Hi, Dwayne. How are you?
Good, good. Just a comment on delegating. It's absolutely necessary.
Well, I believe it, you know, and I know you're a big believer in delegation so that you can, you know, basically map out your life the way you want it to go. And you certainly can't do everything at one time, can you?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
And have you ever had, if you don't mind me putting you on the spot, have you ever had a bad delegation experience where maybe when you were newer at it or it didn't go quite as planned?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, would you want me to share it or just
sure.
Say it?
Sure. I think it's important because, you know, I think some people have delegation phobia. I know I used to. So sure. What happened?
Well, you know, what I've come to the conclusion, I'll just say this first in the onset, I've come to the conclusion that if the person can do it 80% of what I can do it, I'm fine with that. And as long as they can do it that way. And so the first part was the teaching. I mean, you know, the biggest mistake I made in delegating was when I first started delegating the teaching, I was still teaching the beginners and younger belts, and then I had them start and take over the older belts. Well, I shouldn't have done that. I found out that, you know, in the delegation process, I should have put them with the newest people, and that's what I do now is, you know, whenever I have a, you know, like an instructor, that head instructor will start with the beginners so that they develop that relationship with them first.
Okay. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Yeah, that was wrong for me to do it the other way around, so.
But, you know, and I can see the thinking there, too. You know, oh, the brand-new students probably need the most, you know, in a way they need a lot of attention. They're the fragile eggs, as they get called sometimes. You know, they're the people who, you know, you want to have the best experience, and sometimes we think we're the best people for that, when in reality sometimes a leadership team member has a lot better recollection of what they did at White Belt and how scary it was and all those things than we do.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
I have a question that came in on the web from Mark. And, Mark, I'm already laughing because your question is a really good one, and it's one that I think a lot of people have, and I don't know if they'll have a perfect answer for you. But it's, you know, how do you handle delegating to your spouse? And that one can be tricky. And I don't have experience delegating to a spouse. I have experience taking direction from a spouse in a different business, and I have experience in watching boyfriend-girlfriend be delegated back and forth to, and I'm very familiar with what can happen. So I think one of the biggest things I can say about that is I think number one is both people have to have a really clear understanding that it's not personal. And sometimes that's hard to explain to the other half that, you know, when we do certain things for business, you know, when we walk in the dojo or we're doing things, you know, yes, we're married and yes, you know, we're partners and yes, we're going to have disagreements, but, you know, somebody's got to realize that, you know, it's not personal. So if someone says, hey, you know, you were responsible for, you know, for doing this and we didn't quite get the results we need, you know, they need to be the type of person or understand that it's not personal. On the flip side of that, I think that the person who is the other side of the coin would be the person who's working with that person or has more authority, I guess is what I'm trying to say in the business, has to really keep in mind it's not what you say, it's how you say it. So it's a lot different if I say, you know what, Mark, it was your job to make the call for resets last night, and I see that you fell short by 30. You know, that's a lot different than me saying, hey, Mark, you know, what's going on with the call for resets? I think we agreed to do, you know, X number, you know, last night, and you didn't quite get to it. You probably were busy, but what's up? You know, it's just kind of, I think, a constant communication issue and making sure that, and I'm just assuming that, you know, this is where you're coming from, and you can type some more questions in on the web about it if it's not, but typically what happens is one person gets their feelings stepped on a little bit or doesn't, you know, gets a little rebellious with the authority. So I think those two things to keep in mind is everybody's got to realize it's not personal, and everyone's got to be very conscious of treating their spouses with courtesy and respect just like you would do with anybody who walked in your school, regardless of the issue. So hopefully that helps. Dennis has a question. Let's see. He says, as for delegation of teaching, he's heard from his students part of the reason they come to his school is to learn from him. They're not satisfied with learning from people that he's taught. Not that they're bad, but they're not him. He feels like that he spoiled his students by being the only one to teach them for all this time. I feel trapped by having to teach beginners when I need to be teaching black belts alone. Dennis, I would say that, you know what, you're not the first person who's had that challenge. I've heard of that before, and I've experienced that myself on both sides of the coin as being somebody who had a really big set of shoes to fill, as well as starting to relinquish some control and have other people teach some of my higher-up classes as well. So what I can say about that is I think you got to keep in mind, number one, is in your marketing in the first place, you don't want to make it sound like you're the total cat's meow. And what I don't mean to be disrespectful by that, but you want to make it sound like your school is what's awesome, and it's not just you, but it's these other instructors as well, and it's everybody who works in your school, and this is why they should come to your school. And then the second thing is when you start to relinquish control, and it would be easier for you to back out of the beginner classes because I think your most advanced students should get to keep you most of the time, most definitely. But, you know, you can do that pretty gracefully by Dr. Hoffmaning, as we say, the other instructors. You know, maybe pull them in first to the classes that you want them to take over. Have them first assist you. Then a couple classes later, you know, make sure that, pull them up in front of the entire class. Have them do the demos on the techniques and talk about how awesome they are. Like, this guy is just – watch this guy's sidekick. Look at this technique. It is unbelievable. Man, he almost does it better than me. Almost, you know, or whatever it is. It's just kind of, you know, to add a little sense of humor into it. And then eventually start having that instructor lead part of the class with you being the person who might go around and do wandering corrections. And in some cases, it might even bow off the floor for a while to go talk to the spectators or do some other things, you know, all the while pumping that person up. And then eventually when they see that those instructors – they're not you, but they have unique talents themselves, and there's different good things about them, they're going to be a lot more accepting about it. So I would just, you know, make perfectly clear also in enrollment conferences as a sidebar, too, that, you know, you're not if you're not promising that you're teaching all the classes, then people, you know, they have no real reason to think that other than they've already seen you doing it all the time. So I hope that helps a bit. We have Mark has another observation. Let's see. Okay, Mark is giving us a tip on how he worked better with his spouse. It says what he did is he created an official job description for his wife so she could better understand that he was not making things up. I love it. That's awesome. So you're not pulling things out of the hat, huh, Mark? Actually, you have the official job description so that she knew that you weren't just like having her do maybe things you didn't want to do or you just weren't making it up as you go. I love it. That's great. That's a super idea. And that validates it a little bit more. I think I've actually done consultations where I've had both parties on the phone because, you know, they wanted that third party just to say how it should be. And in some cases, you know, if you need a little mediation, just give us a call. We'll help you out. Oh, does anybody else have any questions either on the web or observations they'd like to share or on the phone?
Kathy, if you allow me, I'll share something my wife does.
Absolutely. Please do.
She does. We don't work in the studio together, but when I pass something by her and or she hears of something that I'm doing that she disagrees with, she usually will go to my office lady, and she knows that if it comes better from her it comes better from my office lady, Dawn, than it does coming from my wife.
Ah, very good. Okay, so you have the ability to be able to have it kind of come from a third party and it be delegated out from someone else.
Yeah, so if she disagrees with something or she hears something, she'll just talk with Dawn and say, you know, I don't agree with this, or I think this should be this way, or what have you. And then, of course, I'm not going to, you know, blow up with Dawn or anything, you know, that type of thing. So.
you don't want to get double teamed by two women telling you, oh, they gang up on you, you know. Sometimes we do, not all of
them.
But
I thought that was, you know, that was a slick thing. You know, it used to be, you know, where she would say, well, I'm just going to tell Dawn. Now it's, she does tell Dawn. So.
But I think that's good because, you know, obviously from the tone of your voice and from your demeanor and just because I kind of know you, that doesn't make you feel threatened, and you're okay with that because it helps her deal with it and it keeps the peace, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's another good strategy. So, hey, you know, why not? You know, everybody's got to be a team, and, you know, everyone's got different you know, types of relationships going back and forth. And, you know, sometimes if it helps to go to somebody else, and it can be reinforced the same way, even better. So.
Absolutely.
That's great. Does anybody else have a question or an observation or an experience they'd like to share about delegating that's on the phone or that's on the web? Just want to give everybody plenty of opportunity. I've enjoyed our time today. Thank you so much for attending the Member Solutions Teleconference.